Good morning, Hurricanes fans, and welcome to another episode of Full Press Hurricanes. We've got a lot to talk about in this episode leading up to the weekend, and also a recap of the game versus the Detroit Red Wings last night that did not end in the way that the Hurricanes would have liked. A 3-2 Detroit win. Let's break it down. First off, not even a minute into the game, and Dominic Kubalik is sprung on a fast break. Won't call it a breakaway because there was a defenseman back. Moritz Seider was basically on the end wall, makes a pass up to David Perron at their own blue line, and he lays it off for Dominic Kubalik, who is streaking from picking up speed from his own end through the neutral zone and then fires a wrister that goes near side, so high on the blocker on Frederik Andersen. Definitely one that Frederik Andersen, I know I say this a lot, would have liked back because of the fact that it's near side. You don't want to give up a goal near side, but then again, Kubalik did pick the top corner with this one. It's his 20th of the season, and he was moving in with a lot of speed. So just a very good shot, very good goal. And within a minute in, it's already 1-0 Detroit Red Wings. The Red Wings would hold this lead until not even a minute into the second period. A lot of goals being scored in the first minute of the periods here, but this time it would be the Carolina Hurricanes getting their first goal of this game. It would be a good keep-in twice by Jacob Slavin, once with his hand and once with his stick to keep the puck in the zone. And then the third time wasn't really a keep, but what had happened was Jordan Martinuk has the puck down low below the Red Wings net, tries to feed it in front for Jesper Fast, who drops down to one knee to take the shot, but it goes right through him. And he was in the slot, so the puck eventually is making its way to the point. Slavin then passes it to Burns, but it's off the boards, almost reminiscent of that famous PK Subban slapshot goal, because it had bounced off the boards and Burns let it go off the boards and come back to him as he took the slap shot. A couple of bodies in front. The announcers actually thought it got tipped, but this is Burns' goal. It goes right past Nedeljkovic and in for the game-tying goal. And Brent Burns gets his 14th goal of the season, assisted by Slavin and Fast. And then the Hurricanes, just about 4 minutes later, would take their first lead of the game. This time, it would be Jacob Slavin getting the goal. It's his 7th of the season, assisted by Sebastian Aho and Jordan Staal. This play starts with Sebastian Aho passing the puck in the neutral zone along to Marty Natchez. And Natchez sends a puck to Jordan Staal, who is at the blue line in the along the boards, and he is able to enter and walk down the wing. He rips a shot, but it's blocked, and it goes kind of into the corner where Sebastian Aho is able to pick it up, send it right back to Jordan Staal. They kind of cycle it because then Aho drops back along the half wall, and Jordan Staal drops it back to him on that half wall, and then eventually Aho throws it to the point where the defense has now set up, and Jacob Slavin is there. He fires a wrister, which again, there's bodies in front of the net. The announcers once again thought it was tipped, but this just kind of bounces around and finds its way in. It is Jacob Slavin's goal, and just like that, it is 2-1 Carolina. They have their first lead of the game. It would not last long, however, because the Red Wings would go up on the power play in the second period, and Dylan Larkin would score his 28th of the season. Dylan Larkin kind of ties up the faceoff, and that leaves David Perron to step in and try to win this puck. The Red Wings kind of win this puck forward into the zone, and Perron pokes it over to Alex Chason, who is down below the Hurricanes net, and then he throws it in front. Now Larkin has set himself up for a one-timer point-blank. Nothing that Frederik Andersen could do about this one. And just like that, the Red Wings score on the power play. They convert special teams-wise, and they are now tied with the Hurricanes once again. I do want to mention special teams before I forget. another 0-for-3 night on the power play for the Hurricanes in a game that really would have helped them. Red Wings go 1-for-3, so not much better, but it was all the difference because this goal tied the game, and the only other goal in this game would come from the Red Wings with only 4 seconds to go in the game. It would be Jake Walman getting the goal for the Red Wings, and the Red Wings would steal 2 points from the Hurricanes. This play started from Ernie and Kopp. Adam Ernie gets this puck along the boards in his own zone, walks through the neutral zone knowing that there's little time on the clock, and dumps this puck down. It rings around the boards to the far side where Andrew Kopp is able to pick it up. Kopp sends it, after winning a board battle, back to the point where the defense is just getting set up, and Jake Walman, the 6'2 defenseman, he sends a rocket of a wrist shot right past the glove of Frederik Andersen, and the Red Wings score with, it was really 3.2 seconds on the clock, and they take this game in regulation, so no points for the Hurricanes. That is troublesome because when you look at the standings, Hurricanes are still sitting at 103 points, and the Devils got a win over the New York Rangers last night to keep the Rangers at 98 points before breaking 100. The Devils have 102, so just a point behind Carolina. Carolina does have one game in hand against them. However, it's getting really close and a lot closer than Carolina would have liked in this situation. We have to take a look ahead at this weekend because now it is even more dire that the Hurricanes get 2 points out of both games. Another situation where the Hurricanes have a Saturday and Sunday back-to-back games. Saturday is a 7 p.m. Eastern Time start against the Montreal Canadiens. I mentioned this before, this is a team you really need to get 2 points from. You've been doing it all year. You lead the series 2-0. Hurricanes beat the Canadiens 6-2 on February 16th, and then they beat them 4-3 in a shootout on March 7th. So you need 2 more points from them. That shootout, I was covering that one. That was the one where Jesperi Kotkaniemi got the game-winning shootout goal against his former team. Sunday, you face an even tougher New York Islanders team. So if you're going to get any points this weekend, it's going to be hopefully against Montreal, even though it's on the road. You come home to play the New York Islanders. That's a 6 p.m. Eastern Time start on Sunday. With the Islanders, it's been a little bit shaky this year. This is the fourth meeting. The Hurricanes lead the series 2-1, with the Islanders taking the first game back in October decisively 6-2. The Hurricanes then took the next game in shutout fashion 3-0 on December 10th, and then the Hurricanes followed that up with a January 21st 5-2 win. So they're looking to win the season series, take 2 more points here, and come out of this weekend with a positive note, and still first place in the Metropolitan. The three keys that the Hurricanes are going to have to follow in order to win these games and change their momentum right now. The first thing, and I cannot stress it enough, it's the most important one, power play, power play, power play. They need to convert with special teams in order to have some kind of success in this league. It's not enough that you outshoot your team. The Hurricanes outshot the Red Wings 33-22 and still lost by 1 goal, with the last goal coming within the final seconds of the game. So that is a dagger. The second is probably going to have to be figure out goaltending, because Frederik Andersen has been decent, but now that you have Antti Raanta back, you may want to look at giving him a start and switching things up. Andersen, like I said, has not been bad, but there have been a couple games that have slipped by the Hurricanes with him in net recently, and I think it's because of the fact that he's been playing back-to-back-to-back every night. Usually he's used to the goaltending tandem rotating, but with sending Peter Kochekov down and bringing Antti Raanta back off of the injured reserve list, you need to facilitate him back into the rotation at some point in order to give Andersen a rest. And the third point, and maybe the least important depending on how much you want to change your own game and who you are playing that night, is these Hurricanes need to get a little bit more physical. The Red Wings out-hit the Hurricanes 23-7 on Thursday night. Much more physical game from a team that honestly does not have much to play for right now. No wild card spot for them. They were sellers at the trade deadline. They're not making the playoffs. The Hurricanes, yeah, you don't want injuries, but you got to be in these games. You got to play physical. You got to wear teams down, especially a team like the Islanders when you play them on Sunday, who are going to want to a wild card spot in the East. So they're going to be fighting for that. And then even Montreal, with the whole Jesperi Kotkaniemi getting the last laugh in last game, they're going to want to fight back, and you need to play physical. You have the physicality on the team with guys like Staal, Martinuk. You need to be able to, Jalen Chatfield, you need to be able to lay a body and wear teams down. This weekend should be a very interesting one for the Hurricanes. Let's hope for 4 points and 2 wins. Come out unscathed and get ready for the next week. I will be back Monday to let you know how all of these games went. But until then, this has been Full Press Hurricanes. I am your host, Mike Napolitano. Let's go, Hurricanes.